All right, good evening. Let's stand here and sing Chainbreaker tonight.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice of the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain. The light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. If you've got pain, somebody testify. If you believe, if you receive it, you can feel. Somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, you can feel it. Somebody testify. You got me.
Let's have a word of prayer tonight, and then we'll open our hymn books to page 307. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then I'll open our hymn books to 307 this evening. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, we thank you for what's continuing to go on at Splash Camp. Lord, how you blessed in the noon service today. Lord, we ask that you be with the youth and the nursery tonight, Lord, to guide us in here as we look through your word. Father, we're just so grateful that we have a place we can come to midweek to celebrate Jesus and the life and the light that he is. Father, we ask now that you help us as we continue in our worship. In the name of Jesus, we pray and ask these things. Amen. All right, turn your hymn books to Send the Light, page 307. We're going to sing the first, the third, and the last, 1, 3, and 4, Send the Light.
There's a call. Send the light, the blessed gospel.
turn your hymn books to page 186, 186, the Old Standard, and we'll sing all four verses of The Old Rugged Cross. 186. Great singing this evening, and thank you for playing, and great playing, Sister Jennifer. And we are looking in our Bibles tonight in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Before I get there, several announcements, and So be sure, there's an email in there, info@abcnorthmont.org. Be sure to email those prayer requests to us or text them to myself, Brother Brandon, or Sister Nancy, and we'll make sure the email is the best because Miss Nancy is better at it than Brandon and I, and so she will make sure those get into the prayer list, but we are praying for several things, so pray over that prayer list. Like I always say, I pray you pray over it every day, but at least pray over it once, amen, and God will hear. But several announcements, and again, some may call for questions from you, and that's perfectly fine tonight. We had a great noon service. You're probably wondering, where's everybody at? Well, we had about 20 at noon service. I know today was the biggest noon service we've ever had, and so that's a blessing. And then we've got a whole bunch of people at camp. Praise the Lord. A bunch of kids and counselors, and the youth group is packed over there tonight. I saw some folks, some visitors come back, and so we're excited about that as well. But I want to just share some things that are going on at camp. our campers, it's one of the neat things, and this is a credit to our workers with our children from nursery on up. One of the things that we've been striving for and that I'm really being a stickler on here lately is our church, we want to hold a standard of excellence, that we want to do things the very best. And so you've heard me say we don't want the kids on the stage or running through the hallways. We want you to be on time. We want you to sing. You know, the church that I was trained at, there's a standard of excellence. You just don't see those things there. And that's one of those reasons why that church was blessed and you see things going on well. But one of the things that you see in our church nearing 5 years old that is really good is the growth progression of our workers and our children. And our children aren't out of place even when they go down there to camp with churches of 1,000 or 700 or 500. And so we see our kids competing not just in the spiritual but the athletic competitions and winning. And that's a big thing. We, you know, when we first went, it's like we couldn't even get our kids to participate. But you see them being trained from the nursery to the young Sunday school classes and young Awana classes to the older Sunday school classes and the older Awana classes and even into our youth group. And you're starting to see the fruit of that. And so this week at Splash Camp, our junior campers, these are the kids that are going to be 4th, 5th, and 6th grade this year. Brother Charlie Erickson headed up a team of baseball players, and they won first place. And so praise the Lord for that. That's a big deal. Listen, when you're a church of 150, 175, and you're beating churches, Wilmington is there, they're, you know, 800, 900, Xenia's there, 700, Chillicothe's there, 600. When you go there and you thump them, it's a good thing. Now, we're all pastors and we're all friends, but we like to brag about these things, all right? And then we saw Brother Aiden Brister got second in the preaching competition, praise the Lord. And there was about 9 kids, so it's not like he got second out of 3 guys. And so he did a good job. He was there in his shirt and tie. And then my daughter Jaleese got first in the teaching and third in the vocal solo competition. And so we saw some good things going on there. And they're at their last night. They'll come home in the morning of Splash Camp. And so we had a lot of kids participate and do things. But it's just kind of neat to see the growth and how people are participating. And those boys, we got 4 boys there. And I tell you what, they lost their voice day one. I went there Tuesday and they, oh, Pastor! So we're excited about that. And I want you to keep praying for those Splash Campers tonight, their last service. And just a good time there. And we saw the same thing with our youth group. Our youth group came home with winnings and things like that. And so you're just starting to see that progression, that standard of excellence that our church won't, you know, we're not going to put up with anything less because the Lord said we should be perfect. Remember we talked about that? So that's good. Then also I want to encourage you just to know that tomorrow we start back with our Grow Ministry. We're going to be meeting over at the Union Elementary School at 418 West Martindale Road in Union. We're going to go out and canvass the area. Next week, we'll begin to hand out our cards for our anniversary service, 5th anniversary service. But as currently constituted, we want to get as many people as we can out to Grow tomorrow night, 6:30, there in Union, and just simply going up to the doors and putting the bags on the doors. Not door knocking, but going. They have similar laws to Englewood, but going up, putting on the door. We get out as many as we can. Seems like it's going to be the high 70s with a little cloud cover, so probably a pretty nice day, not too hot. But we're excited about that as we have just about 7 weeks until our 5th anniversary, which just got confirmed today. If you were here Sunday, you know this. If you've been here the last several Sundays, you know this. I don't know, Brother Anthony, maybe 5 out of the last 7 or 8, we've run out of parking for the most part. And we ran out of seats last week, had to add seats. And so we're moving our anniversary to the Calumet Center where we had Easter for lots of reasons. It won't be as hard because we don't have to set up our sound equipment there because we have a concert sold out and they have their own sound equipment and they'll do all the music that day. But we can still have our inflatables. Kona Ice is going to come. We're going to have all kinds of stuff over there. And so it will just be easier just to set up the chairs and we'll be able to fit everybody. And with that being said, one of the hard things about the size of the sanctuary and the things that are going on is we just can't keep on. We had a family of 5 show up and, you know, they're standing up looking. We can't keep on doing that because people won't come eventually. And so starting the second week of October, the first week of October, we have a revival with Brother Terrell Hudson. Just getting this out there early. The second week of October, we're going to begin 2 services. We'll have our service times will change, so keep your eyes posted. But we'll have 9 a.m. early service, and then we'll have 10 a.m. Sunday school, and then an 11 a.m. Later service. It will alleviate some of the parking lot things. Now, here's the thing. People say, well, I will get to see everybody. Well, if you come to Sunday school, you'll still see everybody. If you come to Sunday night, you'll still see everybody. If you come to Wednesday night, you're going to see the kids and those things, but it's just necessary. There's nothing else we can do. We can't add on to this building, and so until the time the Lord would give us an opportunity to have a bigger building somewhere, and don't worry, we're not going to move anywhere but Clayton, Englewood, or Trotwood. Those are the three places we'll be. We're not moving anywhere crazy. We're not moving to Brookville or Dayton. But the city of Trotwood just isn't going to let us build onto this building or add parking lot. There's nothing we can do. But every good church that I know that's grown, some of them are still running two services. Our sending church did. You know, our church, our friends in Xenia, where Brother Carter's brother is on staff, you know, they're running 700. They have to run two services because their building's not big enough. And until you can either, usually churches grow, and usually Sunday school grows when you have an early service. So I told the folks at the noon service, one thing that I would encourage you to do is if you're an early person and you don't have we're not asking anybody to do anything in the morning service. It'll be like this one. I'll just run through the songs and preach. And so that service will be about 9 to 9:45, no praise and worship. Choir's going to stay at the late service. But if you're an early person and you're like, I just want the Word of God and I can get in there and I can go to Sunday school and go home after that, and you don't have a ministry in junior church, or you don't have a ministry in music or choir or nursery, then you know what? After that service, after the 10 o'clock Sunday school hour, you go home and you beat the rest of us to Bob Evans. That's how it works, because that will alleviate some need for space in here. Now, you can come to whatever service you want. We're going to make it work. But even if we had 20 people start going to the 9 a.m. service, it opens up 20 seats, and we are in critical need of those seats. We had some of our folks had to get up Sunday to move to let the visitors come in, which is a blessing. I commended you for that. But I just want you to know that I'm getting that ahead of time. We'll have it posted on Facebook and in the bulletin. We'll have to change the tracks, all those things. And our goal is to get to the point where we have enough money, we have enough people to where we can pick up and move and get a building that's big enough to where we don't have to run two services. But at the moment, our church isn't going to grow much more if there's no room to grow. People aren't going to come and continue to do that. And so that's just where we're at. I've held it off as long as I could. I probably should have done this in the spring, but I was just holding it off and holding it off and holding it off and asking the Lord to provide us with information. Brother Brandon and I have ran through it again with the city and what we can possibly do. And I'm not willing to add just, because it's not just the sanctuary. It's the classrooms are too small, the bathrooms. There's only two toilets here for ladies. That's always backed up. It's causing plumbing issues and backflows. It's just a lot to it. And I'm not willing to add on just double the size. If we just double the size of this room, we have to add bathrooms, plumbing, and we have to add a parking lot, and they want us to tear down the shelter to do that, and it kind of becomes pointless. The property next door is $175,000. To excavate it, it's $200,000, so now you're at $375,000, and it needs plumbed and utilities, so $500,000 to do that. We don't have that kind of money, and I don't think it makes much sense in the first place. So the deacons and I had a meeting. We're all in agreement. Was no arguing. All five of them were in complete agreement. I'm in agreement. So we're going to do our very best here. And if the Lord puts us here and keeps us here for 10 years and we run two services, I got the energy to do it. I can preach all day. You guys know that. And so that's what we'll do. But that's where we're at. So I wanted to just come forward and transparent. There's no secrets here. That's what we're going to do. Again, we're not asking anybody to come early. The deacon trustees, they usually get here at 9. They wouldn't have to get here until 9:45. They get a little bit more sleep. Me and Brother Brandon can run the early service and get people in like we do with noon service. Not going to cause us too much. We'll still live stream the late service. The choir will still sing then. The musicians will still come then. But as we grow, we may have somebody that plays piano in the morning service, things like that. But that's where we're at. So I want and why we have to move our anniversary again. I planned and I held off. We talked about getting a portable bathroom outside for more bathrooms. Most of you probably don't know it unless you were the ones in there, but every big day we've had for the last 2 years, the bathrooms have backed up, and Brother Logan's out there snaking it, and you wouldn't know that without being privy to that, but we just, too many flushes, too many people, and so that's good, but it's also a hard thing. And then parking, Brother Anthony and those guys do a great job putting people where they can, but if you're a visitor and you come in and there's no parking spots, visitors a lot of times late, that's going to deter you from wanting to come there. You think about it this way with a school. One of the number one complaints from parents and teachers is our classrooms are too overfilled. There's too many kids in a classroom, right? And then a lot of people take their kids out of schools because they want a smaller school because there's 30 or 40 kids in a classroom. Northmont, you hear that all the time, don't you? People want to leave and go to Salem or go to a private school. It works the same way for a church. People don't generally like to be on top of each other. It's just kind of how it works. So anyway, I want it to be transparent. And also, I want to tell you this. It's a really good thing. Any church that's worth its salt, when you start to outgrow your building, you should be excited. That should be a glory hallelujah moment. You should be like, hey, guess what? God's working in my church. And so you should get excited about that. And so as we grow, as we get more money, as we do more people, these things, God will bless and he'll open the door for something for us. And again, we're not going to go far. Wherever it's at, it's going to be Englewood Clayton or here in Trotwood. But we just have to wait for the Lord on this, okay? So with that being said, I also want to just encourage you that we have a lot of stuff coming up at the church, and we want you to be at it. So you'll get a copy of the bulletin Sunday. There'll be some new things. There's a ladies' fellowship Tuesday. Sister Sierra Morton, who's over in youth, is the speaker. We've got choir rehearsals restarting on Sunday at 4 p.m., promotion day. Our kids are moving up. And here's the other thing that you guys probably don't really think about because you don't see it. Starting the 13th that morning, we kick 5 kids out of junior church, which means they have to sit in here. So that's 5 more bodies. We only had 6 seats left Sunday after we added a row. So that's 5 more bodies that are coming in here just that are already here. The Hatchers were out. Some other folks were out. The Fortunatos were on vacation. So you just start doing the math there, and I don't know where we're going to sit people. So that's why we have to do what we got to do as far as that goes. But promotion day is coming. And the other thing is we have no nursery children this year that are moving up. Our oldest nursery child just turned 3. So the nursery, if everything stays the same, we had a family of 5 visit who plans on coming back Sunday. They have a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old. With the Cockman baby to be born, we have 14 nursery age children. Miss Don's smiling. And so there's also going to be a modification in the nursery. Just so you know, Brother Brandon's going to be building a modification. A lot of churches have to do it, and so we're going to be modifying the nursery as it currently is. Not much, but to where we have a side for the older kids and the younger kids. And so it won't cause us any more nursery workers, but it's just going to be what we have to do in order to keep it safe. And so there'll be about a 5-foot tall wall with another door inside there for the toddlers on one side and the infant to 1-year-olds on the other side, basically, or infants to 2-year-olds on the other side. So all that stuff coming. He's going to get started on that project next week. So you'd be in there. You're my guy. Come on. Listen, and this is how bad it is right now with our space. College and career classes in the shelter. Now, once it gets to be November or December, I bet you I don't have very many college and career kids wanting to come and be outside in their parka. So I don't know. I just live on faith. I don't know what we're going to do after that. Maybe we'll just meet in the hallway. I don't know. But we can't stop. You know, we've got kids now that are in that age range. We just can't, young people, and we just can't stop just out of fear. I live out of faith and not with fear. Amen. And so we're just going to keep on going forward. And God's going to give us the building when it's time, or he's going to do what he's going to do when it's time. Somebody asked us if we could build up. Sure, we probably can, but that doesn't help us with restrooms and doesn't help us with classrooms. So just be a lot of people up in the balcony, but it won't be nobody able to go to the restroom. So it just is what it is. We're just kind of there. Even our stage, you probably don't know this either, but we've got a lot of good band musicians in our youth group now, a lot of kids that can play instruments, and they want to have live music. Where am I going to put them? They're like, oh, I can play this. I can play this. We got Gavin can play the stand-up bass. Jake plays the guitar. Randy Bowles plays the guitar. Kenton plays the guitar. And we don't even have any more plugs. Brother Carter doesn't even have any more outlets for these people because the power goes out every time we do it, right? If we have the baptistry heater on and somebody runs the vacuum, the power goes out. That's where we're at right now. And so it's just got to be different. And that's okay. That's okay. Everybody that is spiritual in nature will be blessed and be thankful that the church is doing that well, that the church, that God's people show up and show out that way. So I know that was long, but I want to be real clear, kind of informal business meeting, but I want to be real clear with you guys. I don't want you to think there's any secrets or we're doing anything behind anybody's back. This is all present. I talked, Brother Phillips here, Brother Chuck was here this afternoon, Brother Anthony's here, deacons and trustees, we talked about it. This isn't pastor being a dictator, just saying we're going to do this. I talked to Brandon and Nancy about it. This is just what we got to do, okay? And again, anybody have any questions? I like I said, I'm willing to answer your questions. That's what we're doing. Questions or concerns, Ms. Rebecca?
Well, those that are in the nursery and stuff, like us, we need to stick with our
things. Yeah, I'm glad you said that. There's no nursery in the early service, just like at noon service. There's no nursery or children's programs. And that's just because it just taxes the people. So there's no nursery. Now, the nursery in the nursing room, the way we're going to redo the nursery, it's going to be the nursing room too. And so those things will be open and available to moms that are feeding and kids, but it won't be anybody staffing it until Sunday school and Sunday morning. Or late service Sunday morning.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And junior church will be the later service and things like that. It's harder to ask the young families to get here 15 minutes earlier than Sunday school. Yeah, that's already a task sometimes. So, and I don't like half hours. Like somebody said, well, why don't we do 8 a.m.? Because me and Brandon already get here at 7, and I don't want to get here any earlier. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not a morning person. If I preach at 8 a.m., it's going to be awful. I know my friends, I've done it before where I go to my friends' churches and preach two services, and that 8 a.m. So, anybody else? All right, and our trustees will be here. I'll be talking to them. They'll be here at like 9:45, so they'll abate everybody from coming in. Now watch, if you come to the early service, you might as well stay for Sunday school. And if you're in this class, if you're in Brother Carter's class, you just wouldn't move. You'd come in here at 9, and you just stay here at 10 a.m. Coffee will be ready at the 9 a.m. service. You'll be ready to go, and you'll just move right in. But that's kind of a simple way of thinking about it. Youth group would still be at the same time, so they'll be excited because they'll get to sleep in a little bit longer. Sunday school starts 45 minutes later for them. And all my people that are late, I can say to them, you're always late, and we're giving you a whole extra 45 minutes for Sunday school. So there's no reason. But usually Sunday school attendance grows as well in that because it's later. So. Mm-hmm, sure. No, it's good. Sure, sure. Hey, I said this a long time ago. There's two things we're never going to run out of at Assurance Baptist Church: coffee and preaching. Right? Coffee and the Word of God. We're always going to have both of those. Amen. Yeah, I've been eating coffee beans all day, so you know what that means. Oh yeah, I got dark chocolate coffee beans in my office. Delicious. Yes. Anybody else? I don't want to miss anybody. It's perfectly fine. This is the time to ask questions. But yeah, we just don't have, you know, Bethany and Logan's class are moving 5 kids out of their class to the youth room. Well, if you've been to the youth room lately and seen what goes on there on Wednesday night in Sunday school, we're talking about Sunday school, the ladies' class. We're not doing this yet, but the ladies' class and youth may have to switch rooms because he's got so many kids in the youth, which is a blessing. But he's getting 5 kids from junior church to youth this year, and he's only losing 2 that are regularly here, Grayson and Raven. And so that's 3 more bodies that he doesn't have currently. And then the Hatchers are getting 3 more little kids. But then Philip and Cynthia, Dave, here's the blessing. We don't have any 4-year-olds coming to you anytime soon. Watch, I say that, and we'll get like 3 or 4 visitors come the next couple of weeks with 4-year-olds, and here they come for your Sunday school class. But yeah, so that's where we're at, okay? Anybody else before we go on to our scriptures? All right. It's a good thing, too. Don't be disappointed or sad. Be happy. Be happy. All right. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You know, I always look at the book of John, the Gospel of John, as allow me a little latitude when I say it's my favorite gospel, because all the Bible is good, obviously, but just it speaks to me personally. And so when I do discipleship class, as I'm currently doing, Miss Abby's in that class, and congratulations, Miss Abby got baptized Sunday, if you weren't here. So that's our newest member, so make sure you welcome her into our fold, and we're thankful for her. She's been to every service since she's gotten saved, and now it's just a blessing to see somebody on fire for Jesus. But wonderful testimony, wonderful lady, so get to know her. But we read through the book of John together, and so whenever I'm doing discipleship class, it's probably the 1,000,000th time I've read the book of John because I always read it with them. But it really is my favorite. Now, the other Gospels are different writers, but really a lot of the same stories. John has some of the same stories, but he gives us some different things. You know, Matthew, he gives us this long list of genealogies to begin his Gospel. Mark, he's the therefore straightway immediately writer. He's always doing something. Jesus is always doing something, and Mark says, and immediately he rose up, or straightway he went. Luke, being the beloved physician, the doctor, he's the detailed, the longest of all the Gospels. He just keeps giving you all these details. He's the one that gives us the most extensive, or really the only things about Jesus' birth and the nativity. And so we see these different writers, but John is a man after my own heart, because the way John writes is how I preach. He's straightforward. He minces no words. He just comes right at you. You know, I love somebody that you don't have to read their mind. They just tell you how it is. Now, you can do it in kindness like John does, but you never have to guess how they feel. You always know where they're at. John, he makes these statements in his writings. He tells us all the I am statements of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, I am the light. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. These are all these I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are these powerful statements that Jesus makes in the book of John. So John really speaks, and the reason why we read it in our discipleship class is because he speaks the most about the divinity of Jesus Christ. It is why the Gospel of John is the most torn up in the modern versions of the Bible in English. They take it from the King James and they change things. Even the very first thing the Jehovah's Witnesses have changed, John comes right out. There's no genealogy. John comes out and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. He doesn't mix any words, does he? He comes right after it. And so as we see tonight, this is another one of those things where Jesus is teaching. And Jesus is coming right after the apostles and right after us. And not in a mean way, not mean-spirited. When I say that, I mean he's giving us extensive teaching. He's giving us something, and we'll miss it if we don't pay attention. And so in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, picking up in the very first verse this evening. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, Jesus is at the night of his departure. He's about to be arrested just a couple of chapters over and go to the cross. He knows he's about to die. And they're there at this Passover feast, and before he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That word love is a constant theme in the book of John as well, for God so loved the world, right? And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth. This is interesting. This is something different when you're about to die. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. He takes a towel and ties it around his waist almost like a belt, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. You know, as I was thinking in this message, it's kind of interesting because D&D are here tonight, D&D's cooking class. But I was thinking, Miss Don, Miss Debbie, I was thinking, you know, in my life, my grandma and my grandpa that lived on 3rd Street in Wilmington, Ohio, there's a lot of lessons we learn in the kitchen and the dining area. Now, I don't know how some of you young people know or feel about it, but when I was growing up, my kids would say way back in the 80s and 90s, there were a lot of lessons taught in the kitchen and in the dining area. And I remember, and I look back at my grandparents' house, you know, they were those old school people that had a sitting room. And the sitting room was the largest room in the house, and it had plastic on the furniture. And it was this called the sitting room, but nobody was allowed to sit in it. You know what I'm talking about? It had all the fancy things in it, and it was like a mortal sin for a kid to go into the sitting room. The only time we ever went in the sitting room was at Christmas, and you had to be accompanied by an adult, and you better not go in the sitting room and act the fool. But then it struck me as odd, you know, the bedrooms, there were some bedrooms upstairs, and my grandparents had a bedroom downstairs, a hallway, walked down a few steps. And then the most interesting thing, the smallest room in the house is what they called the living room. And everybody would crowd in the living room where the kids were allowed to be. Now, we were living high on the hog in the 80s. You young people won't know what this is, but we had a Betamax at my grandparents' house. We had Betavision. We could watch our films. I remember watching Rambo on Beta. We one little bathroom over there, and extended, probably about as big as the sanctuary, the living room, extended into it was a kitchen that was long with a dining room table, and this is old school too. Some of y'all never heard of this, and the laundry machines were in the kitchen. And so I thought about that, and you know, a lot of lessons are learned in the kitchen and in the dining area. You know, I learned in that kitchen, in that dining room, manners. My grandfather would say, no elbows on the table. My grandmother would say, were you raised in a barn? Close your mouth when you chew. My grandfather, who's in heaven and died back in December, my parents weren't, we weren't, but my grandfather was a devout Baptist man, and he would always have us to bow our head. I learned to pray before we ate supper or before we ate a meal there. And so that was something we learned there. They lived on the Ohio River, and they would clean fish out on the back porch, and then my grandmother would bring it into the kitchen, and that's where I was learning to put the fish in the salt water and get it all cleaned up and how to lay those fillets out. My grandfather, in his mind, washed dishes like nobody else on the planet Earth before dishwashers, so nobody washed dishes but my grandfather. And my grandfather would wash those dishes and get those glasses shined up, and there was no such thing as air drying them. You hand dried them. That's where I learned that there was a sud side and a rinse side, and that we dried those things out and we sat those cups out and put them away. I learned those things there. I learned how to do laundry in that kitchen because that's where the laundry machines were. My grandmother taught me how to fold towels, and I learned how to cut peppers. And it was also where we played games, Monopoly. That's where I learned to be the master of Monopoly at that dining room table. That's where I learned how to play euchre and dominoes and spades and gin rummy and go fish and old maid and Uno. I learned a lot of things, and I think we miss that, and I'll be the first to admit, my family rarely sits. We don't even own a dining room table. We kind of have like a bench. We rarely sit around the table because as the kids get older and activities get more, you kind of lose that sense. So it's still an honor and a blessing on our birthdays or big things or when we go out to eat and we're all together around one table, and there's things that can be learned there. Sometimes you're just learning about someone's day. You're learning about someone's hardships. You're learning about someone's blessings. But I think there's much comfort in learning and supping together around the kitchen and the dining room. And Jesus here, with his very best friends on earth, is just finished with supper, a place where learning is going to go on, a place where much fellowship is taking place. And we see here, Jesus rises from the supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. You know what Jesus is teaching here? Number one, Jesus is teaching humility. He's teaching humility. In the Eastern culture, you see, we don't always read into the story enough. It was apropos, and it still is today, for the host or the master of the house to be very hospitable to their guests. And if you invite people to your house, one of these things, it was a must that you would wash their feet at the supper table. You would clean them up and make sure that they were feeling welcome. You know, it's a very humble position to be in to wash someone's feet. Because the position Jesus would have been in, as the apostles would have been sitting at a seat, Jesus would have been kneeling with their dirty feet upon him and the towel girded around him and washing their feet in that position. A very humble position that he's in. Now, if you're a girl dad, Brother Carter, one day you're going to do this. Your little girls are going to say, Dad, we want to go to the nail salon. And about 3 years ago, Jalise begged me, and we went and got manis and petties. Now, you say what you want about me, but for the last 3 years, even Eleanor laughed at that. She knows. The last 3 years, she's saying, Daddy, I'm going to get you. In 3 years, since that, I go and get a mani and a petty every year now, maybe twice a year. Because do you know how phenomenal a pedicure is? It is a wonderful thing when they put your feet in that warm water. But you know, I was looking, and there's some little Korean ladies up in Troy that do ours, and you know, they're down with the kind of on that kneeling board, and your feet are in the water, and they're filing and doing things and clear coating, and they're taking, and it's a very humble position for someone. You know, feet are nasty, and they perspire, and you walk. Fire pot is not an enticing smell like me. The smell of grown men's stale feet throughout an entire pot is not an enticing smell. And Jesus, God, this I am of the book of John, humbled himself and washed the feet. You say, well, why would Jesus do this? Well, you see here in the book of John, he didn't say that they have to go on and do it. This is why it's not an ordinance of the church. He doesn't do it as a religious rite. There's nothing necessarily wrong with it, but the two ordinances the apostles continue with are baptism and the Lord's Supper. He doesn't say that we have to continue to do this. He did this as an example, but he also did this for a reason. Think about this. He told them to go set this meal up. Tell the master of the house, we need this place. But none of the apostles thought, hey, let me be humble enough to wash the master and my brother's feet. So Jesus, after dinner was over, said, well, if nobody else is going to do it, I'll humble myself and do what's customary in this Middle Eastern culture It wasn't a Jewish thing. That's the culture of the Middle East. Even today, if you go to Japan or China or one of these places, you know, people take off. That's why people take off their shoes when they go into some people's house, because there's two gross things that you all probably have with you right now. Your cell phone is the number one dirtiest thing you own, and your shoes are the second dirtiest thing you own. Just on Sunday, we had two different people stepping gum out in the parking lot and one inside here, because so that's been in somebody's mouth, and they say that a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth. Now, I say this to you, Jesus is in a very humble position. Now, I want you to hear this. It's one of the things that I constantly affirm to Brother Brandon as an assistant pastor, as a full-time staff man. You know, our pastor made us do things, and I make Brandon do things sometimes that don't need to be done, but I'm just testing to see how humble he is. Because he cleaned the refrigerator today, and I just wanted to see if he would complain and snicker, or if he would just go clean it, because guess what? Somebody's got to do it. Now, we have cleaning team people and other folks in the church who would love to do those kind of things, but sometimes I leave it for him to do, because if you ever want to pastor a church or be in full-time ministry and do things well, you have to humble yourself. You know, still to this point, I clean the church after morning service and clean the toilets, but that's because I do that because I'm the leader, and I want everybody not to know or to think highly of me, but to know that I'm willing to clean. Now, Jesus didn't command me to wash your feet, and I'm not going to. Tell you that right now. I'm not that humble. But there is a part of this that we see, that we're teaching, that we're showing. It's a teaching moment here around the supper table. He's teaching humility. Do you know what you're doing when you teach your children, when you teach people around the table to pray? You're teaching them to humble themselves before God and say, only because of your hand is this food available. You're humbling yourself. Teaching moment. One of the very first things that the kids in the nursery can do and are taught is to pray. A lot of those 2 and 3 year olds, I saw it at VBS this year, Braxton and Remington sitting on my lap, and I said, it's time to pray. 5 year olds, couldn't they? And they sat still. You know why? Because it's a trained, it's a position that we're teaching them. And then Jesus shows them number two. He teaches them that they're an extension of him. You see, in that verse, he took that towel and he put it around his waist. And as he had that on him, he never took the towel off to wash them. He kept the towel tied to him because it says wherewith he was girded. So while the towel is still wrapped around him, he's touching their feet and cleaning their feet with the towel wrapped around him. What he's teaching them is that they're an extension of him, that they're connected to him, that I am the vine and ye are the branches. And I couldn't really think of a great illustration, but one that brings shame to me, so I'll just bring it to you. But you know, I was a bad kid. I was a bad little boy. When I was a toddler, I was every little boy that you think has an ornery streak or is bad at this church, I was 10 times worse. I was a monster. And I remember that. My mom threatened to send me to military school every year from the time I could remember until I was about 12 years old when I finally straightened out a little bit. I was bad. I was. I never got in trouble at school, but at home and at family reunions, I was the kid that hid and beat up my cousins. I was bad. And because I was so bad when I was a little kid, I vividly remember this. I told you, I remember everything, even from the time I was 4 or 5 years old. But when I was a little kid, I remember going to Kings Island, and it's probably illegal now, but my mom, I call them kid cuffs, but I don't know what they were called. But does anybody remember the thing where your mom could have this handcuff on her, and they put the other one on you, and everywhere your mom went, you went? Now, I tell you, my mom, you know what she was saying? Boy, you're going to be an extension of me today. You're not going to get no ice cream, no dinner, you're not going to ride no rides. My mom was, you know my mom, what we call her Medea for real. My mom was so thugged out back in the 80s and 90s. My mom would take me, now I'm talking about when I was 19 years old, she'd take me into the ladies' bathroom, and while she was going to the bathroom, she'd put that thing in between the crack, and I'd stand outside the door while she was going to the restroom, and she'd say, you bet not move, and I'm connected to my mom. Ladies are walking up, how you doing, ma'am? How you doing? And she's like, I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to humble you because you're an extension of me. You know what Jesus is saying to us and what he was saying to the apostles' children? He was saying this. He was saying, I'm keeping this towel connected because through the Holy Spirit, you're connected to me. So in the same way I'm teaching you to be humble, or the same way I'm being humble, I'm teaching you to be an extension of my humility, to use this humility, to be this person, these people who show my love. Because remember the very first part of this verse, it says he loved them to the end. You know that means he loved Judas Iscariot too, right? I loved him to the end. Peter's getting ready to pipe up here in a minute, and just a few hours later, Peter's going to deny him 3 times. Jesus knew that. He told him he was going to do it. Just a chapter later, he's going to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. They argue with Jesus there. That's why Jesus said that. They're arguing, we're going to go wherever you go. No, you're not going to follow me, Peter. You're going to deny me three times. And then Thomas says, we don't know where you go. And Jesus says, oh, boy, I'm telling you where I'm going. This is all happening here. This is all the context of why Jesus is doing this, why he's washing their feet, why he's teaching them around the supper table. Let's look at verses 6-8 here. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? If you look at Matthew, he basically says this, you're not going to wash my feet, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon's going to say, okay, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands, my head, my neck, my back, just wash it all. And in verse 10, Jesus says, he that is washed needeth not to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. This is why we don't have to continue in the foot washing services, because Jesus says it doesn't do anything. Baptism doesn't make you clean. Foot washing doesn't make you clean. The Lord's Supper doesn't make you clean. I make you clean. Number three, Jesus teaches them exactly who he is. He teaches them that I am, that I'm him. Been at camp the last couple of weeks, so I'm up on all my teenage lingo, but one of the things that they do in sports these days, and one of the things that teenagers do, is if you see kids doing this, that means you're too small. You're not strong enough to stop me. And so they're playing gaga ball at camp, and they're like, you're too small, mouse in the house, you know, even if it's some little kid and some big old guy, they're like, you're too little. It's funny, that's just what they do. You see basketball players, football players do this, that's what that means. But the other thing I hear a lot of the guys say, I watched a boxing match last week, one of the things those guys do, so Bud Crawford beat Errol Spence last week, and they jump up on the ropes, and they're banging on their chest, and he says, I am him, I'm him. I'm him. That's what they say. That's what these teenagers say. They make a basket on somebody. I'm him. I'm him. And Jesus is teaching nobody's him but me, that I am. He's teaching them that I am God. I was listening to the radio about the Bengals a couple of days ago, and as much as I like the Bengals, they said, you know, Joe Burrow is the savior of the Bengals, and in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow walks on water. It's blasphemous. No, he doesn't. Only Jesus. And Peter, through Jesus' power for a moment in time, walked on water. But Jesus is teaching them there, you don't need anything to be saved, to be clean, but me. I am the cleaner. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to teach them that later. He's going to teach them in chapter 15, I am the true vine. He's going to teach them that he is all these things. It's not about these religious rites. It's not about doing this or doing that. It's not about having this or having that. It's about Jesus Christ. And so around this table, I want you to understand this. Jesus teaches us to be humble, to humble ourselves, that if the Lord and Savior was willing to gird himself with a towel and put grown men's feet in his lap and wash them, that we also need to be humble. We need to learn to be humble, and that we need to learn that we aren't it, but that he is it. We need to learn to love each other in a humble fashion. You know, humble, humility are all the same Greek word as humiliated. Humiliated. One of the things that burns me, one of the things that I try to do in my personal life, is I always tip the waiters and waitresses a lot. Because what happens to a waiter and a waitress as an extension of Christ, if you're them with humility and kindness. Because a lot of those waitresses and waiters are humiliated. If you've ever been a waiter or a waitress, sometimes they're humiliated, and a lot of times it's not even their fault. Because somebody humiliates them because they forgot the ranch dressing. Somebody humiliates them because their food wasn't cooked properly. That's the chef's problem. Somebody humiliates them because they brought them a Coke instead of a root beer. And then somebody humiliates them and raises their voice, and they're loud, and miss, you forgot this, or sir, you forgot this. And I know it can get very frustrating, and I told you how I get about my sweet and sour sauce, but you know what? You don't know. If they've worked an 8-hour shift, they may have had a terrible 5 hours, and you come in there and you might be the breaking point for that person. It may be a single mom just trying to fight her way to have enough money to feed her child that night, and you come in and you have a bad attitude because somebody forgot to bring your Caesar salad, and you won't humble yourself enough. But Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, put a nasty, betraying person, someone who would deny him, someone who would doubt him, their feet in his lap and washed them. Puts it in perspective why we ought to be humble, why we ought to look at people and have grace and not be so quick to be angry or to go be so quick to be nasty, because Jesus could have very simply said to all of them, you know what, I'm not going to die for you fools, the way you're acting. Peter, but you know what, I know Peter learned from the lesson, because we know historically through Jewish history, it's not in the Bible, so don't look for it, that Peter humbled himself so much that when it was time for him to die, that they put him on a cross, and he said, I'm not worthy to die as my Savior died. And so he asked them, and they did. Peter died on the cross upside down because he didn't feel worthy to die on an upright as a Savior. You think he learned a lesson in humility? That he's not him? But then you're an extension. Jesus taught us that we're an extension. Everywhere you go and everything you do, you are girded about with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's with you. You're an extension. Everything you touch. Now watch this. Every person you talk to, every text you send, every tweet you send, every Facebook post you make, every place you go to, into a restaurant or to a store, every person you come in contact with, the way you drive your vehicle, the way that you work your job, you are connected. You are girded about with the Holy Spirit of God. You're an extension of Jesus Christ. Guess what? The apostles got that because these 11 men, Judas dies, obviously, these 11 men, and extends to Paul and other good men and folks in the New Testament, they got that they learned to be an extension, and they changed the entire world by being an extension of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're sitting here today. The reason why we talk about the King James Bible and love the King James Bible is because the Textus Receptus, we didn't get our Bible from the Catholic Church. We got our Bible straight from the hands of the martyrs of God. That James was beheaded for this word of God. Peter was hung upside down for this word of God. We got this book because they passed it down from generation to generation like a great story, because this book is the extension, because it's the word of God and it's girded about us. And when you hide it in your heart, the Bible says we hide in our heart that we might not sin. Attention, it is the very word of God. John explodes into his gospel. He says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so he's teaching us right here. Jesus is saying, all these things that have happened in this gospel, I am the word of God, and you are an extension of the word of God in everything you do. And then he says, I am him. Came to my mind in this announcement. This church isn't growing or hasn't grown because of me. It isn't growing and hasn't grown because of you. It's because of him. Now, if we humble ourselves and we'll be an extension of him, praise be to God, he allows us to have some of that shine on us and get to be used of him. Amen. I'm thankful to be used of Jesus Christ, but none of it happened. It was a great illustration Sunday, you know. The family, there was a few families came, you know, the one person I met in Savannah and there's some other people. But Sunday, the family of five that came, none of us knew them. They didn't get a track or a letter. They didn't see it on Facebook. We said, how'd you hear about the church? We were just looking for churches that have the King James Bible and something for the kids. We said, you're home. You're home. Who do you think sent them? How do you think they got here? Listen, this ain't the easiest church to find in all of Dayton. The lady from Savannah that came from Savannah, she said, I came from Fairborn, and it was hard to find this place. She's already making excuses not coming. She's like, when it snows, I don't know if I can get here. I said, don't start making excuses. It's July, baby. Like, we don't got to worry about snow just yet. Who do you think sent them? I am. He's him. God. He was with God, but he is God. The same was in the beginning with God. And he made all things, and all things were made by him. Listen, all I'm saying to you is when we look at this verse and we expose it, we understand that Jesus was teaching around this supper table, and we learn lessons around fellowship and teaching. You know, I think it's really important for all of us to understand in our church, and I want you to get this and clean this up and just take this. But one thing that happens at church fellowships and in church Sunday schools and things like this is why Brother Carter's class is a blessing to me, because there's people of all different age ranges and groups. It's not just segmented to ladies or segmented to youth or segmented to children. It's just everybody in here together. But you know, one of the things that happens in churches, that one of the things that I think we miss are our sending churches like this, and it's not a bad thing, but one of the things that happens is you get so segmented in your group of people that you miss out on the lessons that you can learn from others. Now, I'm just not talking about older or younger, but sometimes I learn things from the youth. I go and have pizza with the preacher, and I learn, you know why why my camp ministry, when I go to camp, you know why I'm successful with that? Because I live with four teenagers, basically, and I listen to them. So I know how to talk like teenagers. And so when I go, you can't fake teenagers out. You got to be authentic. When I go there and I say something and they're like, how does this old guy know that? You know, you can learn from them. They'll say some things. Sometimes they'll say some things you don't like. What I've learned is I really like to be around old people. Now, I'm not talking about people who are 60 or 70. I'm talking about the people that are pushing 90. I like being around them because I was with Miss Betty Robbins today. Now, she's kind to me, but, you know, when you get to a certain age, you don't care about what nobody got to say. They just say whatever they want to say. They just say it out loud. Like, things that I would keep to myself or tell my wife about, they just say it out loud. They're like, well, honey, you look like you've gained a lot of weight. I'm like, dang! Like, they've got to the point where they just don't care. I remember this one lady was pregnant at our sending church, and this really old lady said to her, honey, your nose has gotten really wide. I'm like, like, it's just mean, but they just say whatever comes to their mind because they're going to forget if they don't say it right then. Woo. But, you know, I learned from Dave and Don Fortunato, people that so you know what I always encourage? You ever notice this? When we have a fellowship, I never sit down. I always go and move around with different people. Different ages. Sometimes I'm with the kids. Sometimes I'm with the people my age. Sometimes I'm with the younger people. I'm moving around. I learned stuff from Carter and Maddie's age group. I learned things. Listen, I don't know anything about technology if it wasn't for Brother Carter. You'd be in a lot of trouble. You still are without him, but you'd be in a lot more trouble if he didn't teach me the things he's taught me about technology. I learned things from Brother Brandon. Sometimes Brother Brandon says stuff, and like I never want to give him any credit. I'm like, that was actually a really good thought. It doesn't happen often, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. Next fellowship, I encourage you, get up and move away from your comfort zone, move away from your family, move away from your best friend, and go sit with somebody from a different demographic. Sit with somebody that's younger or older or somebody that's not close to you. Go sit with them and learn from them. There's lots of lessons around the supper table. There's lots of things you can learn. Young at Hearts and Youth had a ministry a couple weeks ago to hang out together, and they talked about it's the best thing that's ever happened. They talked about it like it was just like it's the best fellowship in the history of church fellowships. I got 70-year-olds like, we were hanging out with the 13-year-olds. I got 13-year-olds like, we was hanging out with 65-year-olds. I'm like, what is going on here? God, because they're girded about. They're an extension of Jesus Christ. They're learning from each other. They're humbling themselves, and they're understanding we got the same God no matter if we're 10 or if we're 100. I think it's important to take lessons from the dinner table, from the Word of God. Amen. Be humble. Be an extension. Remember that He's Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this evening you've given us. Lord, we ask now that as we close out, that, Lord, we continue to pray for the splash campers. We continue to pray for people to be saved. We've got another baptism Sunday. Praise be to God. Sister Maisie right here this evening, and we're so thankful for her. Lord, we are just asking tonight to have us be humbled, Lord, and as an extension of you. Father, as the music begins to play tonight, we just offer an opportunity for anybody that wants to come to the altar to come tonight for prayer, for questioning, whatever it is. If you're here tonight and you say, I'm not sure that I'm saved, or you're not 100% assured in your salvation, or you need to be scripturally baptized, or you need to join Assurance Baptist Church as a member, then tonight we leave this opportunity for you. Father, have your way and your will in this time tonight. If that's you tonight, you can come do business at the altar. In Jesus' name.